It's the big broadcast. I'm Murray Horwitz, and this is WAMU Washington, your listener-supported NPR news station from American University. In HD at 88.5, at WRAU 88.3 in Ocean City, and live at WAMU.org. One of the greats of old-time radio is the subject of a 2015 biography that's coming out as an audiobook this month. Destination Freedom is a series that was almost unique in its dedication to the struggle of African Americans. Ed Walker used to feature it on this show from time to time, and Jill Arold Bailey and I have been pleased to continue the tradition. Richard Durham was the creator, producer, and writer of the series, and Word Warrior, Richard Durham, Radio and Freedom, is the biography written by Howard University professor, multi-Peabody Award winner, and my good friend and colleague, Sonia Williams. Sonia, welcome to the big broadcast.
Thank you. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm fine now, now that we're together. Full disclosure, Sonia and I were collaborators at NPRA a few years ago, but this is our first time on the air, together
right.
Again for the first time.
Exactly. It's great.
So give us a little introduction, please, into who and what Richard Durham was.
Richard Durham was really a pioneer because he was an African-American writer who got into radio in the late 30s, early 40s. One of the very few, if not the only one, to make a living in radio as a writer, a script writer. He was not on the air, but his work was. And so he was able to move into that sphere. He fell in love with radio and radio drama, and then eventually moved into television. He was a print reporter. He was really kind of a Renaissance man. And he also wrote Muhammad Ali's autobiography in the 70s.
Would our listeners recognize some of the series that he wrote for before Destination Freedom?
Or yes, were they most definitely. In fact, as a freelancer, he wrote for a show I think that you even feature on the big broadcast, and that is The Lone Ranger.
Oh, wow.
And he also wrote for Ma Perkins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. Fred Allen's least favorite radio show. He always make fun of Ma Perkins.
Right.
Well, so he knew his business, and that partly answers my next question, because this is Destination Freedom was on WMAQ in Chicago. Why would this mainstream white big-time radio station broadcast this somewhat daring African-American created series in 1948?
Oh, it was definitely daring. I mean, you did not have a half hour devoted to dramas about African-American heroes, both historic and contemporary. A lot of things happened. One, he was a known figure in Chicago radio.
Yeah.
And he had a series called Here Comes Tomorrow, which was a black soap opera.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have to look into that.
And it looked at issues in the black community post-World War II and used a black war veteran as the main character to deal with issues. And he figured, okay, 15 minutes, there's only so much you can deal with in that short time frame. But if I could create a half an hour drama that would be able to use the talent that is there in Chicago, both black and white, which was also unique. This was a multiracial cast, which in the 40s you really didn't have a lot of.
No.
So he came up with this proposal. He went to the powers that be at WMAQ, and for whatever reasons, they said, yes, let's try this.
Wow.
And
the climate had changed. I mean, you know, the armed forces had been officially integrated, I guess, the year before, 1947.
Right.
And a change was beginning to come. We mentioned WMAQ, which was an NBC, I guess, owned and operated, and the credits for the show, we often say, from WMAQ and NBC, was it ever national? I mean,
that was a contentious issue, because after its first year, or during its first year, it started getting all these accolades and winning awards. Durham said that what needs to happen for Destination Freedom should be the same thing that happened for other sustained programs. And that is that it starts local, it creates a buzz, which is what happened with Amos and Andy.
Yes, absolutely.
And so he went to the powers that be and said, we need to take this national. And they kept pushing him away, pushing him back. The objection wasn't so much that the quality wasn't there, because it clearly was. It was more that the sentiments expressed in this show were so, I guess we wouldn't necessarily see it as radical now, but for the time, was, because he dealt with issues of discrimination, segregation.
Sure. And he's celebrating, you know, civil rights heroes.
Exactly. And anyone who was, in their own way, a freedom fighter.
Right.
So to have something that was broadcast in a city like Chicago, but then to have Southern affiliates take the show, they knew, the NBC, that that was not going to fly. So there was a lot of resistance.
So we mentioned that Destination Freedom was a daring show. It was a series of biographies of Black leaders. Let's hear an excerpt of the episode about Denmark Vesey, the free Black leader of a slave revolt in the South. Here he is, as written by Richard Durham, speaking to the judge at his trial.
Then I read what Ben Franklin, Tom Paine, Lafayette, and Jefferson had said, and their words warmed my blood. They wanted their revolution to make all men free and equal. But they stopped with some men free and some men slaves. I took up where they left off. I found my price when I was a slave. I paid it. If my life is the price I pay to be free, take it. I'll pay it. But until all men are free and equal, the revolution goes on.
The revolution goes on. Those are fighting words. And in 1948, really quite something. And yet the show got accolades. The show got admired.
Because you're talking about a man who, in his writing, was really inventive. He found ways to tell these stories, whether it was about a Harriet Tubman or Frederick Douglass or Louis Armstrong.
Right.
He found creative ways to tell these stories. So in this case, yes, you have a Black man delivering the line, the revolution continues. That was radical for the time.
Sure.
It's even radical now. But, you know, then it was really something else. But he found creative ways to do this.
Yep.
So that in the case of a show that I know you featured early on this show, The Rhyme of the Ancient Dodger.
Right, the Jackie Robinson story.
Exactly.
One of Ed Walker's favorites.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the story of Jackie Robinson told in rhymed couplets by Studs Terkel.
Exactly.
Which, you started to say something about that
one. Well, that in that case, we are talking about using rhymed narration to move the story along. Right. And that's just one case. In another case, the story of 1875, he looks at the life of a congressman in the South. And he has the year of 1875. He creates and makes that year a character.
Oh.
And then that character takes you through 12 months of the year so that from January until December, you find out what this congressperson did to push voting rights. And then, of course, what happens
with him. It's a very clever device. We're going to play a Destination Freedom episode in just a minute, but let me ask you a perhaps unfair question. Some of the old-time radio dramas, many of which we don't play on the big broadcast, and the comedies, frankly, can sound a little corny. They're dated. They just don't hold up to modern ears. How well does Richard Durham's work hold up? And what does Destination Freedom have to tell us today?
I think they absolutely hold up. And one clear example of that is that since I teach at Howard University in the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film, for the last couple of years, I've had my students collaborate with the theater arts majors. And we take one of his scripts, and then we do a live stage reading.
Oh, what
so
a good
my
idea.
Students provide the sound design, and then the acting students bring the words to life. And for a group of younger people who are in their late teens or early 20s, they really relate to the stories and see the drama and the lessons that come from what happens when you are dedicated to a cause and you follow that cause and you deal with the consequences.
Sonia Williams, ladies and gentlemen, keeping the old-time radio flame burning at Howard University. Thanks for that. Well, not only what are the stories of Destination Freedom have to tell us today, but what does the story of Richard Durham's life have to tell us today?
I think his life really is an excellent example of what happens when you have a firm conviction to fighting for freedom and justice and equality for everyone. and that he wasn't afraid to deal with the consequences. Mm.
Okay, what Destination Freedom episode did you bring us so that we're going to hear now?
I brought you an episode that's called Negro Cinderella, and it really is about the life of Lena Horne, who, by the way, Lena and Richard Durham were born the same year in 1917. But one of the things is I think that it shows his inventiveness and his creativity because he cast Lena Horne as Cinderella. And her stepsisters are greed and bigotry.
Oh, wow.
And so he really dramatizes her kind of progression from growing up in New York City and then her path to becoming the star that she became. And some of the obstacles she had along the way simply because she was Black.
Yep. So once again, the book is called Word Warrior, Richard Durham, Radio and Freedom. It's published by the University of Illinois Press. It's out this month as an audiobook. And tell us more details.
Okay.
How do we get it?
It is published by Blackstone Audio. And it is available at www.downpour.com. And that's down and P-O-U-R.com.
I don't know. There's something fitting about an audio biography of a radio pioneer. It's kind of meta. The author is Sonia Williams, professor in the Department of Media, Journalism, and Film at Howard University here in D.C. And Sonia, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for joining us on the big broadcast. We must do this again sometime.
Yes, we must.
And now, from June 12, 1949, WMAQ in Chicago and NBC and Richard Durham, here is Negro Cinderella, the story of Lena Horne from Destination Freedom.